Then Jesus said to the people who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Well, happy Reformation Sunday, everyone. I like this day a lot. We are celebrating the reforming of the church. And I mentioned at the beginning that that red is the color for Reformation Sunday. That's because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit coming down like flames, moving among us, transforming us, pushing us into new ways of being. How many of you here are familiar with the story of the Reformation? Many, but not all. I'm not going to give you a complete history lesson tonight, but we are commemorating the 502nd anniversary of, on the 31st of October in 1517, a German monk named Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the door of the church in his small town in Germany, and thereby ignited a revolution within the church and within the political scene. His ideas spread quickly throughout all of Europe and resulted in what we now call the Reformation. The Reformation included some practical reforms. So, for example, Luther was against indulgences, this idea that by giving money to the church, you could effectively buy your salvation. The Catholic Church later reformed this practice as well. He argued that we should be able to worship in our own languages, right, instead of Latin. And he said that priests could get married, which I'm glad about. But all those practical things stem from the real significance of the Reformation, which was about theology. It was about our beliefs about God. It was about the purpose of the church, about what we do together, why we gather. And the key word of the Reformation is this word justification that you find in our first reading that's also on your handout today. Right? It shows up a lot in the book of Romans, and it has to do with our righteousness, which is another big word, but our holiness, our goodness, our relationship with God. Luther was terrified that he was not good enough, that he was not righteous enough, that God would judge him and punish him for his failings. A lot of people have chalked this up to his having a bit of a depressive, neurotic personality, and that may be partially the case, but honestly, although we might use different language today, I think many of us have similar struggles. I know that I, for one, am constantly looking for affirmation. Do people like me? Does God like me? Did I do the right thing? Was I good enough? I want to be loved. We all want to be loved. There are a lot of times when I feel extremely unworthy, and those are very depressing times. As a society, we have largely medicalized this despair, but it's important to remember that in addition to our medical treatment of it, it is also a spiritual problem. Luther was in one of those pits of despair when he read this passage from the book of Romans, Paul's letter to the Romans. He was feeling like he could never be good enough. There was never enough that he could do to make himself right with God. And then he read, "We are justified by God's grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And that last line there, a person is justified by faith apart from works prescribed by the law. Those lines sum up the Reformation in a nutshell. The idea is that God's love for us is not dependent on what we do. God's love for us is a gift. It's made manifest in Christ's body broken for us that we shared around these tables earlier. God's gift for you. This is actually kind of a crazy idea. It violates our traditional systems of rewards and punishments. It's probably not a good idea for parenting. It's the opposite of karma. It's nothing like any political systems that we have ever come up with. It's not even something that we do a good job of embodying together in the church. But it is the way that God relates to us. And our mission as a church is to do our best to share that. To share that it's not about what we do, but it's about what Jesus has done for us. And what has Jesus done? If we look at today's gospel reading, the main point here is that Jesus has given us freedom. Now, it's interesting in the passage, when Jesus says, "The truth will make you free," his followers protest. They say, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying you will be made free?" This is kind of a strange response, and it reminds us of what short memories we as human beings have, because as descendants of Abraham, their ancestors have actually been enslaved multiple times, right? By the Egyptians, then in exile in Babylon, and arguably under the Roman occupation at Jesus' time, they're not treated very well then either. But Jesus doesn't mention any of these aspects of their past. Instead, he gets personal, and he makes it clear that freedom is something that we all need. "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." Well, I can guarantee you that every one of us around these tables has also committed sins. We all have dirty hands, whether they're sins of commission or omission, things that we have done or things that we have left undone. This is a reality in all of our lives. And sometimes we try to ignore it. We try to deny it. But the fear and the guilt and the shame around it is so powerful. And it does have the power to bind us, often in ways that we're not fully aware of. But it prevents us. It's like an obstacle that gets in the way of us seeing God's love for us and of us being able to respond to the needs of our neighbors and communities. We all need to be freed from this, each and every one of us. The church has an urgent mission and message. We have to confront our sins, both personal and societal. We have to repent of them, and we have to proclaim this good news that God has forgiven us, that Jesus has redeemed us, that we are free. This word redemption, how many of you know the history of this word? It means to buy something back, and it was often used to refer to buying a slave their freedom. It totally fits in with this passage from the Gospel of John. Jesus uses, the whole Bible uses time and again, this metaphor of Jesus freeing us as an economic sort of thing. Not just a personal thing. It's definitely that, but it's also something about our relationships to others. In our gospel reading, Jesus says, "The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The Son has a place there forever. So if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." And Jesus is the Son of God, and he has redeemed us and made us free. That's the key message of Christianity and the key message of the Reformation. That freedom is a gift. We did nothing to deserve it, and it's a gift that we are called to share with others. One of Luther's most famous statements was this. Mark, you and I were talking about this the other day. "A Christian is a perfectly free lord of all, subject to none. And a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all." What we're holding together here is that we are free before God. We have been forgiven and renewed. And so we can be sent out to love and serve our neighbors. Instead of calculating what's in it for us when we help others, we can give of our time and energy and talents out of joy and thanksgiving. It's like how when you're having a good day, you just smile at people more. You hold the door, you try to help them out. You do other little things like that. But it's also bigger things, right? That can be a little bit of a trivialization of it. When we're not worrying about ourselves so much, we can take bigger risks in our work for justice and peace throughout the world. We can dream big and we can act big, and we know that sometimes we'll mess up big, but nevertheless, God will still love us. God has always loved us, and God will forgive us. The job of the church is to proclaim the good news of this forgiveness and our freedom to serve. It's easy to lose sight of that in both our individual lives and our lives together as communities. And that's why we have to be always reforming. The Reformation wasn't just something that happened on a day 500 years ago. It's an idea that we are always called to be reforming, to remember that we die and rise daily with Christ, to remember that God is constantly reforming us, and God calls us continually to reform the church so that we can do a better job sharing this message, of helping people realize that freedom and using that freedom to serve one another. At St. Lydia's, we share the sermon. So first we'll share in a moment of silent reflection. And then after our moment of silent reflection, today we have something to help us visualize and participate in the act of reforming things. I brought Play-Doh.
Aww.
So I didn't have any red food coloring, so it's green. But I think green symbolizes the newness of life that we are trying to live into as we reform the church. So I'm gonna pass around some little balls of Play-Doh, and I invite you, think about places in your life where you feel stuck, where you feel trapped, where you need to hear this message of forgiveness and freedom. Think about our church. Think about the wider church. How can we better share this message? What is something that needs to be reformed? Let your hands practice the art of reformation. Show me inside.